Father God, thank you for the grace on us this morning. Thank you that you are a good Father. Thank you for speaking to us through individuals, Lord, bringing in a message, making it very clear what the golden thread is this morning, what is on your heart. I pray for those with ears, Lord, to hear what the Spirit is saying to them this morning, and for hearts to understand, for eyes to see this morning. Thank you, God, that our faith will not be based on my words, persuasive words, but your Holy Spirit and power, that your word will speak, do the talking this morning, and change us, Lord. I pray that we'll not just hear things and experience things and go off and go on with life as per normal, but the things that you come and rhema to us, that it will bring change, that we'll be a changed people and be salt and light out there, walking in love, walking by the Spirit, walking in freedom and healing, as Umyan said earlier. So have your way, Lord. Have your way this morning. Thank you, Father. And where there's still aches and questions and hearts, that even that you will minister into before we go. That nobody will leave this place hungry and thirsty spiritually. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For some of you guys that are visiting, you jump right into part 15 of a series. I cannot regurgitate all 14 prior to today, but I can tell you what it's all about. At the beginning of the year, the Lord just very simply said to us as a church, Jesus is enough. We need to be careful not to try to add something, to take something away, out of John 6, where he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he freaks them out. 50 odd disciples turn away from him, and he turns around to the other 12 and says, do you guys also want to go? He makes it very clear the way in which he builds and way in which he operates. And so we just realize that the Lord is saying to us, when we share him, or when we receive him, is Christ enough for me in my life? Or do I need something extra? Do I need other stuff? Or is Christ the bread, Christ the living waters? Is he enough for me? Is I am enough for me in my life? And when I share it with either a visitor at church or somebody I have coffee with, is giving Christ my primary focus or giving some subculture to them? And so out of that, we just went to the best sermons ever, which is, the Sermon on the Mount. And that's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we realize that at the end of it, he says, look here, trouble will come. As Bernard said, the winds, the waves, the waters will come. Who of you, being Christians for a number of years, have not experienced tough times? It's not like, hey, here's a pina colada, there's the beach, you can chill out till the boat picks you up for heaven. It does not work that way. It's a fair bit different. In fact, it's a lot different, but I'm not going to go into details. But at the end of Matthew 7, it says, look here, the winds, waves will come, but if you want a guy that built your house on the rock, this is what you have to do. And this means all the words that he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. So we said, okay, cool. If we want to be a people that do not build our house on the sand, but on the rock, because the wind and the waves will come in life, and we don't want to be caught napping when it does happen, let's look at the Sermon on the Mount. Let's move methodically through the Sermon on the Mount, teaching us, challenging us and changing us. And so that's where we're at. We're at Matthew 6. It's August almost, and we're at Matthew 6. So it might go on for a couple of years. But anyway, you can go to the next slide. I'm not going to revisit what we did last week, but this week, one of my favorite topics is prayer. We leapfrogging one part that Pier 3 will be doing next week, but I'm going to jump right into a topic of prayer. Now, who loves prayer? Great. So I'll see you Thursday night at intercession. Praise God. It's going to be three times more than usual. Sorry, that was just a bit of an unpastoral joke. But I love prayer. I love talking to the Lord. Martin Luther said the following, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. In other words, we need to bend his arm to do stuff. But it's more a case of laying hold of his willingness. Realizing, man, he's so in it. He wants his kingdom to come. He wants healing. All of those things that we said this morning, we've got faith for, that's so his heart. He wants intimacy with us. He wants to show us that he's a good, good father. He wants brothers to dwell in unity. All the things we sang about this morning, that's his heart. So we're not trying to bend his arm. Please help us. Please help us. It's more a case of we want to be tuned in. We want to be recalibrated, as Dirk said, so that we can just partner with him, his willingness. And I think many, many times in religious circles, prayer has become the opposite. God is hierdie ou oom, staunch ou oom, op die plaas. Wat jy moet 'n telegram voorstuur en hy vat 'n tydjie om te respond, as hy respond.
And you need to try to bend his arm to do stuff for you. But that's not God. That's not his heart. That's not at least the heart of a good father. We'll get to that just now. So we're going to look at that. What is prayer for you? Just any takers. What is prayer? Just don't read it there. What is prayer? What is prayer? Connecting with God's heart. I like that. Yes? Talking honestly to God. Yes? Absolutely. What else? Anything? Listening to worship. Amen? Can it be? Yes? Speaking God's will into being. Cool. We're going to get to what God's will is just now. Whose will is the same as God's will? Who of yours, your wills? Now and again, yes. Anybody else on prayer? Just anything. Glorifying his name, yes. Meeting with your best friend, that's lekker. Met Philip nou voel, maar ek hoor wat jy sê. Moving in faith? Despite life, yes. And then communicating that. Yes. And then, because prayer is not just humming. It can be that your heart is talking, your mouth need not talk. Some of us, that's difficult to understand. But your heart can talk. Yes, Carla? It's breaking open, breaking yourself open, opening up yourself. It's tender. It can be invasive unless it's religious. Am I right? It should be a safe place. Prayer is not always for everybody a safe place. We want to get there this morning, but prayer is not always a safe place. If you've gotten hurt, what if somebody died, as he said? What if somebody got sick and didn't get healed? What does prayer become then? And we need to have honest conversations about them. What is scriptural? And am I walking out scripture? Is my theology based on scripture or my experience of prayer? And all of these things, and I can't get everything tucked into 45 minutes, but we need to think about these things. And I love what somebody said about honesty, and I think that's very important when it comes to prayer. Now, prayer for me is... it's something, it's a heart matter, it's communication, it is two-way. I think religiously some of us were brought up where prayer is a one-way conversation. Can I get any hands? Anybody had that experience? It's a one-way thing.
Ons praat met God. God praat nie met ons nie. Hy het vir ons die Bybel gegee.
No, but through His Spirit He also, yes, and we don't mock the Word, but, and He clearly speaks in Rhema, His Logos to us, personally. And He convicts and He helps and He strengthens and He guides and disciples and disciplines us through His Word, but He also speaks to us through His Spirit and other people and even through your wife. Have you ever heard that? The Lord can speak to you through your wife. I heard that on Wednesday. That's amazing. I'm just joking. But the Lord speaks in many ways, but it's a two-way communication in prayer. What is the heart? What is the goal for you in prayer? Here's not a right or wrong. I just want to tug your brains and hear what you say. What is the goal of prayer? Depends on the season, yes. It depends on the time of day. Worship? Yes, yes. Absolutely. That's one of it. It's not all of it. But what else is the goal? Relationship? Yes. I agree with that as well. Yes, Tish? Yes. Tish has read through the Sermon on the Mount once before. Absolutely, we're going to get there, but that's exactly it. That for me is the goal as well. I think just to be in layman's terms, that along with, I just want to know what he wants. I just want to know what he thinks. Who's ever been married and your wife or your husband expects you just to know what they think? You never. I was Maki Yoki. But exactly that. We think somebody knows what we're thinking, but we don't. And ek is so nuuskierig. I'm just so, what's nuuskierig in Engels? Curious. I'm just so curious. I just want to know what's cooking. I think that's why I pray a lot. This is, okay, Here, what you will. What are you going to do? Ek sit soos die fokster die rondjie. Ek sit soos my ex skaapond met the bal. I just want to know what is God doing the whole time. And so it's that communication. The goal for me is just to know what is the kingdom here and what does it look like. We're going to get into that right now. At this pace, we're going to end off on Tuesday afternoon. So let's just move on. Now, in Scripture and in the Sermon on the Mount, because we want to eventually build our house on the rock, it says a couple of things about prayer. Now, let's start off in Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8, how to pray.
Let's look at scripture, let the scripture do the talking this morning. This is, firstly, we're reminded that up until this time, the Lord is referred to murder, he's referred to adultery, he's referred to being your no, having to walk the extra mile, giving a coat when you've been asked or sued for your shirt, and even something like loving your neighbor. So he's gone and said, look here, there's a bunch of rules, and you guys are great at rule keeping, and you're great at doing the right thing, looking very all godly on the outside, very righteous on the outside. But you know what? All of these things are always, as well, a heart's matter. So we can do the right thing, but our hearts are not in it. So that this was more or less the oploop, more or less the road that we've traveled to this place. So looking at prayer again, we need to be careful not to fall in that trap again of rule keeping, ticking boxes, but the heart is not in it. Who's ever been in a friendship where you do all the right stuff? You send the WhatsApp, you go for the tea, blah, 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 but your heart's not in it. Anybody? Any honest guys here this morning? Okay, thank you. Me and Jenny, we've been in a friendship like that. But you feel you have to. Like my mom always said, jylle moet na tannie X, Y, and Z toe gaan, and jylle moet vir die kind gaan wys vir tannie en oom Piet. And I'm like, nee, ma, come on, my heart's not in it. So the Lord is saying, is your heart in it? And now let's look in that context at prayer as well. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners and to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. In other words, they like the mic, they like lots of words, they like to do it in front of other people, especially. They've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father, remember that word Father, who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask Him. So this is, we're going to move on to the Lord's Prayer just now, which is the bulk of this morning. But just quickly, what stands out here for you? For me, it's the same theme. It's a inside versus outside type of thing. Look here, you guys are concerned about the outside when it comes to prayer. Lots of words. Other people see you standing on, for argument's sake, on street corners or in the synagogues, having to use a lot of words. In other words, what people see. It's a bit of a performance thing. But he says, no. Prayer is not all that. It is actually an inside matter. Remember, in Christianity, we can be a people, and that's often how it works with dead religion in the negative sense of the word, that you live from the outside in. But I believe the Lord comes in the new covenant, and He makes us a people to live from the inside out. And likewise with prayer, he's like, no, it's not about the show. It's not about what people see, about using lots of words when you pray, about sounding all cool and very knowledgeable. It's about what happens in your heart. It's about God of secrets. It's about behind a closed door in the inner room, what happens there. In other words, it's quite real. I'm going to say something now, but we can, as a pastor's family, we can come to church and be dressed up fairly decent. Try to tell my kids, you must not say the oom praat. And we try to just pretend like we are a normal family, but it's an absolute mess at home. And it's the same thing. I don't want a Christianity. I don't want to live a life here that I'm not living at home. I'm not saying we're there yet. Can I please hear an amen on that? We're not there yet, but that's ultimately the goal. Because otherwise my kids will be looking and saying, look, my dad's a different guy in church than he is at home. That's hypocrisy. And then God is a hypocrite himself, because my dad's a representative of God. And that's tough. That's tough. Because you can be in a relationship, you can be married for 40 years and you smile and nod, but at home there's nothing. Friendship, the same thing. It's called dead religion. It's called fake. And likewise in prayer, we need to be careful and say, hey man, let's not worry about what people think. Let's rather worry about getting this done. Thank you, Jesus. So the letter of the law versus the spirit. It is the heart of the matter, and the outside versus the inside, or the visible and the invisible, I said. At the end of the day, before we move on to the next one, it's about the relationship with the Lord. He's like, don't do it for the show. Don't do it for other people.
Don't go to church or to small group for the other people. Don't pray long, elaborate prayers. Come into your inner room. Let's work at this relationship. And out of this, they will know. There's kids here, so I can't use the analogy that I wanted to use. But it's pretty evident if a husband and wife loves each other at home. It's called kids. Amen? Hou jou mond, ek probeer dit subtiel doen. You will know if she's grown what's hopefully happened at home. Now likewise, if in secret, behind closed doors with the Lord, there's intimacy, you will see it in a Christian's life. Okay, I'll leave it there. As papa dit verstaan nie, verduidelik vir my in die kar. Of moet ek vir verduidelik in die kar? Anyway, the Lord's Prayer, moving on. The Lord said, you can go to the next one, thank you. Now, the Lord said to them in Luke 11:1, it's obviously a different gospel, but the same account. The disciples see Christ comes back and he's prayed, and then they turn around and say, Lord, teach us to pray. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. Who's ever had that? Like, I have no idea how to pray. I really want to connect with the Lord. And by the way, as you can see and as you'll hear this morning, I do not believe that there's a formula. The formula is relationship and is intimacy with the Lord based upon scripture, not just only feelings and your own vibe. It needs to be based on scripture as well. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so this is his answer, but we're going to look at the Matthew account. But I believe also, and Vic, any onse Vader hierso? Almal van ons. The Lord's Prayer. We all know it. Is it about the effectiveness of remembering it and remembering it line for line and being able to regurgitate it verbatim? Is that where the effectiveness lies? No. Where does the effectiveness lie then? In the heart of it. What is faith against? Faith is substance. And so I need to have faith when I speak these things. And for it to have substance, it needs to be about the heart matter or the spirit of it, not as much as knowing the words verbatim. Okay, so I think we're at ease about that. It's, who's ever heard the term substance over form? So again, I believe when we look at the Lord's Prayer, it's not about the form, getting the form right. As ek hom so mooi woord vir woord reg sê, dan gaan ek dit sien nie. No, it's having the substance right. Knowing what the heart of the matter is. Amen. Amen. Let's jump into it. I'm going to read it once and then we'll break it down very swiftly, because you all know it. Just the heart of the matter. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, as Tish said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then verse 14, that's part of this for the teaching for today. For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive you your wrongdoing. And so we all know this, and most of us can probably just, as I said, verbatim, just quote it. But there's a couple of elements, and I'm not going to do it justice. Can I amen on that? You can spend time, and in fact, in 2015, if you go look back, we did a series on that for, I think, 4 or 6 weeks. So today, it's just 1 or 2 points. We're not going to make, but if something stands out for you, please go and research it. Let's chat about it if something is there. But we're looking at effective prayer because we, like the disciples in Luke 11:1, says we want to be effective prayer warriors. We want to know the Lord intimately. But what does it look like? Here's a couple of elements that Christ gave us so that eventually we are people that build our house on the rock. The first two words, or some of the first two words, you can go to the next slide, please. Thank you, Emmy. You can go to the next slide. Are you guys making jokes or planning supper or? That's very godly. Well done. Now, the first thing is when you pray, to who do you pray? Now, this is a very simple question, but it's a very potent, a very important one. Because am I praying to God with a capital letter, small letter. Am I praying to him, but I'm actually thinking CEO, I'm thinking manager, I'm thinking master. Am I praying to him as father, but I've had a horrible experience of a father? I'm not going to ask you if you've had a horrible experience of a father. I know somebody that's close to us. She works in our home, and she sees how I deal with my kids. And she was in tears one day because she then turned around and said, I never knew my father. Now, if I walk into her and say, if you want to pray, I'm not going to mention her name, but ma'am, if you want to pray, you need to start by saying, our father. The moment she hears the word father, her context, the lens through which she looks at praying is totally different from mine. And so I don't know what your experience of father is, or fathering, or the father. But it's important to at some stage of your life, to lift it up to the Lord and say, Lord, if I'm not healed up, please heal me. Because in this communication, I want to know who you are, and obviously you know who I am because you're God. But if I don't see you right, if I don't see your identity right, and I'm not saying perfectly because before the rest of eternity, you're going to get to know the Father better. But if there's a big fit, aina, an oozing wound in my soul, the moment I hear the word Father, if somebody really got hurt by their dad big time, and you tell them, turn around and pray to a father, they're going to say, well, no thank you to Christianity for me, with all due respect. So, you alone know where your heart is at, but we're going to pray, and when we do pray, we pray to our Father. In my context, I'm very grateful. We had an amazing dad, earthly dad, which set me up for the way in which I saw God. There was an element of that was neglected in my life, that my dad didn't stay with me, or I didn't stay with my dad in his house or home since the age of 8. So when I got to the Lord, I believed that the Lord was a great communicator. I believed he was a provider, but I did not sense him as Emmanuel. I didn't sense him as being close, because my dad was not close. My dad was a phone call away, or he was every second weekend away. So very automatically, wrongly or rightly, God was every second weekend away, and he was a phone call away, but he was not Emmanuel. So I needed to get healed in that area. So when you pray, it's important to who you pray, because that's going to determine your trust and faith in this communication and in this connection. Amen. So we know Romans 8:15 says, when we get born again, when we believe in Christ, we receive him, we receive the Spirit that cries out, Abba Father. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba Father. Abba Father, almost like a baby would say. And that purity of heart, of knowing this is a good dad, this is a place of trust, this is a place of safety, this is a place of goodness. We sang, Umyan didn't know what the sermon's going to be about, but we sang Good, Good Father this morning. Now, if you can truly say Good, Good Father, you're in good stead for praying as well. And your spirit cries out, Abba Father. And because you are sons, God has sent you the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. So that's who we pray to. Not to the CEO, not to the shop steward, not to the master, not to the manager, but to a good father. You know where you're at. Second to that, we go on. That is in heaven, your name be honored as holy. So God is seated in heaven. He is a matter of authority and sovereignty. Who of you do not believe in the sovereignty of the Lord or the authority of the God? It needs to be attended to. You need to maybe ask tough questions. Do I believe God has all authority? Yes. Is he sovereign? Yes. What does it mean? Sovereign. Sovereign. Okay, God is sovereign, but is he always in control? Maybe I can ask you that. Is God always in control? Is God always in control, guys? Let's think. Let's use our brains. Is God in control of everything that happens on earth? He would be a very strange God, and I will put down this mic if that is the case. He does not control our wills. There's a lot of hurt and gunk going on earth, and if you tell me God is in control of everything, I'll have a serious problem with that. He is sovereign, but he's not always in control. And when I pray, I need to realize that. Because I want his sovereignty and authority to come into a situation, but there's a battle around the situation. Because people have been given free will. Their sin and their enemy is in this life. The sickness and lots of gunk came into this world because of sin and because of the devil. And there's a battle, there's a fight. But God is not going to step in and sort everything out every time, because that would mean that he didn't give us free will at all. So he's a sovereign God. And yes, stepping back in all of eternity, I believe absolutely in the sovereignty of God. His will happen at the end of the day. But in the micromanagement of the day-to-day and the stuff that I do in my heart, the stuff I say, the stuff I sometimes slip up with, I cannot turn around and say, that was God controlling me. That will make him to be a bit of a weird God. But anyway, going back to the authority, this is not what the sermon is about, but it's something that's important. That when you pray, you can pray with confidence. Who am I praying to? Is he sovereign, or what does that mean? What does the authority mean? Adam and Eve sinned. They lost the keys. Authority was stolen, taken away from them, given to the enemy. Then Christ came to pay the perfect price. He went down to Hades for 3 days, came back with the keys and said, yeah, the authority has been given back to you, but you need to enforce it. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. So you need to know what you're doing. What does the word say? What is the Lord's Spirit saying to you? And take that authority because of who your dad is, because of what Christ did, and then you walk in life. Otherwise, we just end up on our backs and saying, oh Lord, what is happening to me? It's like the enemy is trampling all over you because you're not taking up the authority that you have in God because Christ has given it to you. As we see in Luke 10:19, I have given you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, that nothing will ever harm you. We should actually be all a people that say, nothing ever harms me. But we're in a tug of war and a battle. Can't stay too long on this point. We need to move on. Now, we're looking at the who we're praying to, then the authority, and then the third element, I believe, that's in there. What should happen through prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whose prayer has that been all along in their Christian walk? Lord, net your will, Here, net your will. Whose prayer has that been? And mine's mostly like, Lord, please provide. Lord, please provide. Thank you, Lord, for providing. Lord, please heal. Lord, please restore. So I run up to him, which is not wrong in itself, to ask for the things you need. But in seasons of my life, it's been predominantly, Lord, met wie gaan ek trou en Here, kan ek die bakkie koop en Here, I constantly come with those things. So you need to mature to a place where you realize, well, I am cared for. God is good. He is a good father. So he knows about the things I need. And then you go and say, Lord, what is your will? Let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. So whose prayer is that? Sometimes? Any of you? Does anybody ever pray that God's kingdom will come? All three of us. Great stuff. We're in good stead. This place is going to be rocked. This is what should happen. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it need not be this pie in the sky fluffy idea. His kingdom to come means that you get providence. His kingdom to come means that your relationship gets restored with your boss at work. His kingdom to come means that your car gets new tires. That can also be the kingdom. So please don't think it's just this airy-fairy idea. He's very much part of your life. His kingdom to come is that you hear twice that you're not lonely. Some other people might say, well, that's all about Bernard. But he is about Bernard. He died for Bernard. It need not all happen there. Kingdom is not out there. Kingdom is here. Kingdom is here. Most of the battles of the kingdom happens in here and lots in here. So I need to say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Lay my hands on my wife. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Amen. So the kingdom is not just the nations. It's not just discipling the nations, getting people baptized, getting them saved. It is that as well. But it is also us changing. I remember just a quick testimony, praying for Tani Rihanna, myself, Edna, and Petri one night. And she had a knee issue. And we just prayed, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Just laid hands on her knee. And she had a massive restoration there. It did not last forever. A couple of years later, she did go in for an op. But at that stage, there was a clear touch of the Lord on her knee. And we just say, thank you, Lord. That is your heart. Kingdom and will don't have much time to stand still in it. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is where the king's domain is ruled, where the king's will is done. That's it. Is this the kingdom today? I've said this before. Hopefully, if God's will is happening in church. Is there churches today that's happening where the kingdom is not coming? Absolutely, because it's not God's will. How can you say that? You need to be in the Spirit of the Lord to know that His will is coming in line with His word. But are you getting it perfectly right? No, not not at all, but it's our heart. So the kingdom come in a relationship. It will come in your finance. It will come against sickness. It will come in your family where the Lord's will is done. That's it. His will is reigning currently in heaven. He's absolutely sovereign there. But it's a tug of war. It's a fight for His perfect eternal will and kingdom to come on earth. Dit kom met stampe en stote. I can't say it better in English. But that's why we are agents of change. That's why we are sons and daughters of a good dad that say, please use us for your kingdom to come. When I have a coffee, it's not just soul talk. When I watch rugby, it's not just that. When I play touchies, it's hopefully also sometimes the kingdom can come. I can apologize when I miss the mark, which I do. Then the kingdom can come again. So wherever we go, the kingdom can come. It's where the will of God is done. What is the will of God? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need to start thinking differently to know and to discern what the will of God is. We need the Word and the Spirit to do that, and we don't have time to stand still on that. Now, what does the kingdom look like? If I'm praying for the kingdom to come, I said the kingdom can come in a lot of places, a lot of areas. But what does it effectively look like if I look to Scripture? What stands out for me, not in a particular order, is when we pray and we've given our hearts, we've given our life, and God is truly Lord over my life, so my prayers is not narcissistic, my prayers is not subjective and only fleshly and only about me, myself, and I the whole time, then I also have a heart for the lost. John 3:16 says the following, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. I think I'll be lying if I say it does not have something to do with that. The kingdom to come when I get a new pair of techies is really good. But it's so much better when a soul gets saved. It's great to have the breakthrough at work and get an increase. We're all for it. And God, that's also part of God's kingdom. But I want to say all the better if a colleague gets saved from hell and permanent condemnation one day. So I believe when we pray and we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, a big part of our hearts need to also be lured to somebody that needs salvation as much as I needed it and still need it. That's the first thing. Secondly, why did Christ actually come? He came to come and restore relationship between us and God. So when I pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, God is saying, I want my kids back. I want my sons and daughters back. I want my lost sons and daughters back. Luke 15, the prodigal son. I'm sitting on the stoop. I'm waiting for my son to return from the pigsty. I want him back. Can you please partner with me? Can you please pray? Can you please stand in the gap? Can that please be your heart as well, that those come back to me, because I don't want to be missing them for eternity. Isaiah 61, this is what Jesus came for. I'll read it here. He later on quotes it when he stands up in the synagogue in the Gospels, but this is a prophecy in the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, me there, Jesus, obviously, because the Lord has anointed me, like He's, by the way, anointed all of us, if you're a believer, to bring good news to the poor. What is the kingdom to come? I believe it's good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There was lots said about healing this morning. It's part of the kingdom to come. That's what we pray for. Healing to the brokenhearted. Bernard shared very vulnerably this morning exactly what he went through. Now you look at Bernard, you look at his life, you look at his work and stuff, and you're like, dude, are you struggling with loneliness? But he came and he humbled himself and he said, hey guys, this is it. It's beautiful. That's where the kingdom came. And through his testimony, hopefully the kingdom can come wherever the enemy is throwing loneliness and lies of loneliness in your life. So that's brilliant. It's the kingdom at work. He has sent me, and it happened through prayer. And He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn. When we pray, we're like, Lord, thank you that you came to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. It's a theme that's really applicable in my life. The Lord gave me promises of just restoring beauty where it looks like ashes. And that's so beautiful, because that is the kingdom to come. That is what Jesus came to do.
festive oil instead of mourning, splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees or oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to glorify Him. So that was Jesus' mandate, Isaiah 61. That's why He came to earth. And likewise, we see later on, it says there in 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of Man appeared is to destroy the works of the devil. So when we pray and we say, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven, it's not necessarily only about provision for me, protection for my household. It is to say, Lord, will you come? As I partner with you, you're the one that has the authority. You're the sovereign one. As I partner with you, this is why you sent your son. As I partner, not as a slave firstly and foremostly, not as an employee, but as a son and daughter, as I partner with you, will you come and speak good news to the poor? Will you come and heal the brokenhearted? Will you come bring liberty to the captives, Lord? And Lord, many a times I find myself in that place. Will you come and do that? So that, John 10:10, we will not be a people where the enemy kills, steals, and destroys, something that's pretty evident in our culture, but that we will be a people. Christ came to give life and life in abundance. There's a second half of the sermon that I will have to do next time, but can you just flight the last slide with a bunch of pictures? I'm going to share one or two testimonies, and then I'll finish off this one in 2 weeks' time. I just want to stir your hearts for the power of prayer. Firstly, Banner did a brilliant job this morning of just vulnerably sharing how through prayer he could see the kingdom come in his life. In other words, truth from Emmanuel. The one that says, when you experience darkness, when you experience these lies, when you even experience demonic oppression, here's my truth. And he does it supernaturally. As with Hagar, who said, you're the God that sees out of billions of people, God saw Bernard, and he spoke into that. And likewise, he will do for me and for you, whatever the case may be. And I want to stir our hearts that we do not neglect and lay down prayer. So here's a couple. I had four that I had planned, and each time I just added something more. And I'm going to add more for the next time as well. But these are a few, literally probably a hundredth of the testimonies of the power of prayer in my life. And you might think, what in the world? So Holy Spirit, which one do you want to? Maybe the bottom one, the one I love, Table Mountain, as anybody on my social media will see. I've got a bit of a fetish for Table Mountain, but it's a godly thing, I believe. But anyway, the Table Mountain thing is we were living in Malmesbury, moved out there as the Lord had directed us. I was working as a lawyer, Edna as a teacher. She left a teaching job. Most of you know the story. And because God had sent us to Malmesbury, we were going to change the place. But the Lord changed us. She left the job. We got Frida. And then I got retrenched. So here we are in Malmesbury in a town that we were in because God said move there. Edna had left the job because I was a lawyer and earning more than enough money. I got retrenched. And now we're in this situation where God had said, and here we are. And then 5 years of our life started. Most of you know the story. And then twice, family members would set me up with a job in law, and both times God said, no, it's not yours. So later on, we had sold our cars. We were living on handouts. It was really something that humbled us big time. So I thought I would be a director of a law firm at the age of 30, but at that stage, I was actually getting almusa. That's a good word. I don't know, handouts from the church. So it was different than the plan I had for my life. But all throughout, and then came another thing, but a door opened for us to go into ministry, but it was in an area and in a town where the Lord again said it was not Him. So 3 times we had to say no to employment, to jobs, even though your flesh and culture would say you have to take it. But all throughout, I just kept on, every time I prayed, I always would see mist, and when the mist lift, I will see Table Mountain. In my prayer, I had no idea what it was about. No idea. And so 2 other opportunities came to go and plant churches in other places, and God would just say no. One other, and God would just say no. But all I ever saw was just the mist lift, and then I will see Table Mountain. I never put the 2 and 2 together, obviously. And then later on, I kept on hearing in prayer, when I pray, Lord, what are you going to do? Where are you going to send us? How are you going to help us? I heard the word, or I was reminded, my mom and I stayed in a small complex called Sunningdale in Durbanville.
kept on singing this house the whole time in prayer. It was literally for 2 years. Lord, where are you going to send us? I see the mist lift and I see Table Mountain. I hear Sunningdale, or I see the house we had in Sunningdale. We were going through absolute hell. And at the end of the day, you obviously can put the dots together. When breakthrough came, they said, look here, the opportunity that arose was in Shofar Table View. I immediately realized, okay, well, that was the vision that I've been seeing in prayer for the last 2 years, that God had called us here. And then we moved, into Sunningdale where we got our home. And I realized, wow, God didn't want me to move back to my home where I stayed with my mom, because I literally thought, Lord, should I go buy the house so I could see the people? What should I do? He was just saying that you'll be staying in Sunningdale. And so those were the things that when it happened, he confirmed. Now that small little Ford there, that it's called the Ford Icon. I call it the Faith Mobile. Now, at the stage in Malmesbury where we had nothing left, we had to go to a family wedding up in Joburg. And God had constantly, please don't tell our family these stories. This happens in here. God, in those 5 years, of which 3.5 was without an income, God led us every single day through prayer. That's where I learned to pray. Pray in spar. Lord, I've got 50 rand. It's the half of the month. What do I buy? So that's why I got to know God through intimacy in prayer. Who wants to grow in intimacy in prayer? Just checking. Long story short, so we had to go to this wedding. It's in fact Louis' wedding, but don't tell the story. We had to go to the wedding. We didn't have the money to fly up there. Oh, God is good. We had one car left. And the Lord said, and I said, Lord, how are we going to get to the wedding? And he said, sell the car. And look here, that doesn't fit into your stewardship modules in Bible school. So be careful in running with this theology, unless it's through intimacy with the Lord and by His Spirit, and confirmed by a good fruit-bearing friend as well. And so the Lord says, you're going to get to the wedding, sell your car, and buy tickets for that. Because He told us we should never ask for money. We should ask Him. And we should not ask our family either. And we've got lots of family that we could have asked. Long story short, sell the car. Edna was a bit ticked off at that stage, because it was a nice thing that we had left. It was a nice Renault Scenic. So we sold the car. I bought the ticket so we can go to the wedding. And now we didn't have a car. So we borrowed a bucky. And I said, Lord, I've got 30,000 rand left. What are we talking about, just by the way? What's the reason for this testimony? It's about prayer and the power of prayer and intimacy. You're not going to be led into Ethiopia by the Lord. You're going to be led through deserts often. But you're going to know you're fine because you pray and you hear His voice and you'll see the fruit of it. That's why I'm sharing this. Anyway, so sell the car, buy the tickets. Who's ever heard of that? I've got 30,000 rand left. I'm like, okay, Lord, what do I buy? Can I get Volks equipped? But koop ek nou? What, I need a car again. So I sold the other car, the nice car, bought the tickets to go to a wedding, because I can't ask anybody, and the Lord said, don't borrow money. You don't do that. You ask me, I'm your provider. Buy the tickets, and then I asked the Lord, okay, well, the 30,000 rand I've got left, what do I buy with it? And He says, live off the money. Now, there Edna and I had to pray to get to unity again, and I just said, leave the other, say He's going to provide. We're going to live off this money. We don't have a car. Long story short, go to the wedding, come back, still borrowing the bucky, living off the 30,000 rand that we've got left of the car. So this just seems ludicrous. And then one day the pastor phones us up and says, hey, please stop worrying and stop praying. Somebody's walked in and said the Lord has spoken to them, because they thought the bucky we had was ours, but they wanted to bless us with a second car. They did not even know that we've sold both our cars by that day. Somebody walked in and said they're going to bless you with a vehicle, and the Lord has given it to you. Now, that might not be for you a very beautiful miracle, but that was the most beautiful thing that I ever saw. It was a humbling moment when I drove onto their farm and they said, the Lord has spoken to us. We need to bless you with this. And you're like, Lord, your ways are not our ways. I thought I'll be a director of a law firm at this stage, earning more than, with all due respect, that. But yet in that moment, you get to know God in such a powerful way that we could flow up to that wedding, had an awesome time. Nobody there could have known the story that was actually happening behind closed doors. Come back to Cape Town, living off that finance, and then somebody blessing us with that. Maybe let's do a last one before we head off. This bottom left-hand corner. Frida's our eldest. She's now 8. That was end of December 2017. She was going through a patch where she was acting up, and we're like, what the heck, Lord? What's going on? And where are we missing it? And she's like,
not like that. Not like that at all.
And we're like, Lord, where have we missed it? And one night, we just went into prayer and warfare. And we're like, Lord, you've given us promises over this young girl. We have not spoken about baptism in before that, probably about a year or 6 months at least. So it was not a topic even in discussion. But we knew something was up and we needed to fight for our girl through the power of prayer. And we went into our inner room because we were actually just at our wit's end, myself and Edna. She was sleeping. We started to pray, and then the Lord started to show us stuff. Stuff that happened when she was born, stuff in the hospital, like crazy things, just through prayer. And as the Holy Spirit, we just prayed. We went into her room, laid hands on her, prayed for her, and then a peace came. Somebody shared about the peace. A peace came over us. We knew, yes, something has shifted through prayer. Went to bed. Next morning, got up early for my quiet time, sat down, spent time with the Lord. In comes Frida, the Palenburg, a bow and arrow. And she's like, gonna shoot you in the head. I'm like, Lord, which part of the prayers did you not hear? But then she said something like, was gonna giant do it, Mark? And she's like, I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know if this is good. And I turn around and I say, oh, ek en mama het gisterand lekker vir jou gebid. That's all I said. Mom and dad prayed for you last night, like really hard. And she turns out and says, out of the blue, she says, Papa, wanneer kan ek gedoop word? Just like that. Dad, when can I be baptized? It's not a topic we discussed. It wasn't something that was dealt with in kids' church. Nothing whatsoever. It was a spiritual moment because of the power of prayer. Not ours, but because God had a moment that He set up. He cleared the spiritual air, and there was an open moment, and she said, when can I be baptized? And the next Sunday, we did that. And I believe, and I know it's settled in the Spirit. Is she perfect now? No, neither am I. Is she a work in progress? Absolutely. But for God knows, it's settled in the Spirit. She's been baptized. She's died with Christ, and she's rose again. She knew exactly what it meant when I asked her firstly. And then she got baptized just through warfare and praying for your children. Will you stand with me in closing? Father God, thank you with half a sermon. Thank you, Lord, that you will just speak faith into our lives today. Thank you, Father God, that prayer is not something out there. It's not something that is just done, but there's no fruit. Thank you, Lord, that we all have memorial stones of prayer in our lives. And even as I remembered one, I remembered three, I remembered five, I remembered seven. And even as I stand here, I remember more and more of them. Holy Spirit, will you bring into remembrance now all the powerful prayer fruit that we all have seen before to come and stir our hearts again for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. Very simply, a very simple question. Just a moment of ministry this morning. If the Lord needs to restore your faith and confidence in prayer, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. If you say, Lord, I want to be restored to a place where I just believe again in the absolute power of your prayer through your Spirit, just raise your hand and I'm going to pray with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for these hands. Thank you, Lord, where there's prayers that did not go the way we thought they should, we lay them down. Thank you, Lord, that you bring healing to our hearts and healing to our lives, Lord. And thank you that through your Spirit you will pour out love and you will come and stir Rhema faith in our hearts again to be a people that pray, Lord. Pray to a good Father that is faithful, who is never ending, who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And thank you, Lord, where I just shared three testimonies, Bernard shared, and we heard a couple. Lord, there's many more, and we just declare and we ask and we say, Lord, when it comes to the prayer to the power of prayer and the faithfulness of your breakthrough, we just declare, Father God, come and do again, come and do again, come and do again, come and do again, come and do again. Come and do again in our lives, Lord. Come and do again in our lives, Lord. That when we come to church, that we will not be shut up, Lord, because we've got powerful testimonies of through intimacy, God coming through in the storm. Through intimacy, God coming through and saving us from the fire, not even smelling of smoke. God through intimacy doing miracles. If we wander not in the ways of the culture and the ways of the world, but we wander and we walk the ways of the Lord.
I thank you for that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will have relationship as the foremost thing in our prayers, Lord, with a good Father, and not only our own will and own ways, in Jesus' name. I thank you for that. I thank you for that, Lord. I just lastly hear the words, come to me. I wrote down, frequency in communication, humility, and honesty cultivates true connection and intimacy. I'm going to say it again. Frequency in communication. So met ander woorde, om met baie te doen, die hele tyd met die Here te praat. Humility, in other words, I don't know all the answers, but you do know God. And honesty, to even where you miss the mark and where you've sinned, to be honest, cultivates a true connection with Him. I want to pray that for us. Lord, I pray that we will frequently talk to you, Lord, like Daniel did, Lord, and even more so like Christ, always knowing what you're up to, always knowing what you're saying, that we'll frequently communicate with you, not because we have to, but because we want to commune with you. We want to fellowship with you. Lord, I pray that we'll be honest in our communication with you. If religion or dead religion or some kind of spirit or group or culture have taught us to pray with facades and to pray with certain words and language and tones, please forgive us and please strip us of that. Help us to, in humility and honesty, talk to you as a good Father. Also with reverence and fear, obviously, but in honesty. And help us, Lord, to cultivate a fresh trust and a fresh faith with you in our prayers. And to not only have that, but to see the fruit of that. Lord, have your way in this place. You said about Church Christ that my house should be called the house of prayers. So may this not be a den of robbers, but a house of prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.